Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. It is the Wise Words with One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. Today we'll be talking about who does Black Lives Matter to? Who does Black Lives Matter to? You know, there's so much black-on-black hatred in our neighborhoods that I'm confused if we have any love, right? And so, you know, a lot of people can fake that love and show a smile but still stab you in your back, right? And so it's about time that we as a people stop trying to be the lead all the time and sometimes follow, because I believe the followers can help the leader lead a lot better if they would just follow in love, right? Instead of with the knife and the hammer in their hand, you know, standing behind the leader, swinging, but missing every time, right? And so I'm tired of it. You tired of it. But what are we going to do? It is the Wise Words One Gone Show, and we're going to get back to that. I'm going to open the phone lines up to our host, Mr. Marvell. See, Mark's on this morning. Mark, you all are on mute right now, but we'll be right back. right. I want to know what's up. It's who does Black Lives Matter to? Who does Black Lives Matter to? That will be our topic today, because there's black-on-black hatred in our neighborhood, and it's a problem. Oh, yeah, it's a problem. And I'm going to need y'all to call 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. I'm going to the host, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And good morning to my host and our participants who are regular. And I'm going to share that this is likely to be one of the more innovative radio broadcasts on the air right now. So, guys, let's urge more participation, because we're discussing issues that I don't think too many other people are talking about. And they are very, very valuable and important issues. And we hope that once people get involved, that they will pour in and participate in what we might end up with some solutions to these concerns. As a matter of fact, yesterday I got about six names of guys who are willing to form committees, and we're going to start doing workshops, because yesterday we talked about putting together some committees and establishing some organization in approaching the challenges that we're talking about in our communities, and we did something about it. So now we're on the verge of forming these committees to talk about issues like the fatherless situation that exists and the impact that that's having, the drug situation and what impact that's having, even the women's positions about men now. Somebody brought it up in the meeting yesterday that women's positions have changed, and they've changed the complexion of the relationships that men and women have in our culture, and we want to talk about that. We also want to talk about the electronics and the impact it is having on our young people. So we have a lot of issues that we're going to form committees that start sponsoring workshops and have put it in the open forum for us to discuss, so that we can find out what it is that we can do to bring remedy to some of these concerns. Because if black lives don't matter to black people, how do you think it's going to matter to anyone else?
Appreciate that. And so we have our brothers on the panel. I see Brother Joe, I see Brother Mark, and I see Brother Thurman. I'll start with Brother Mark. Introduce yourself to the people before we get started into the convo.
Grand Rising and all, it's Brother Mark. And I'm just glad to be on here today. I missed you guys yesterday, and I missed the Healing Circle last night. But I'm here, present, and willing to help.
Ashe. Brother Joe.
Fellas, good morning. Thanks for talking with you this morning. I, too, was in attendance, and I'm just glad to be here. And I will speak on a couple of subjects, but it's nice to be here this morning.
Ashe. Brother Thurman.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Thurman. Glad to be here this morning, too. I really appreciate this platform, and I'm ready to keep moving forward with our culture and our community.
Ashe. Brother Marvell, as you see, we have a bunch of our brothers on the panel. There's a lot to talk about. We have an hour and 50 minutes to get most of what we're trying to say, because you ain't going to get it all in just this show, because this is a big topic. And what I do know is blacks are looked upon as slow. They're looked upon as evil from other people. They're looked upon as nobodies, right? And so what we want to do is explain to the world how we got there and why we still there, and why we haven't found in 2023 a way to better our situation with one another and uplift each other in the process.
Right on. Well, there's a certainty here, and that is that this is a deep-rooted indoctrination that is causing a challenge for us as a collective to recognize the depth of it, right? Because I think that we are a people that we've become so accustomed to dealing with things as they come, and you know, keeping ourselves, keeping our head above water, no matter what, that looking at stuff and the depth of it kind of gets in the way of what you need to do to stay afloat. You know, while you're treading water, we've been treading water for a long time. We haven't opened up our stroke to start swimming yet. We've just been kind of like, you know, keeping our heads above water because of the many things that are thrust upon us to have to deal with emotionally, spiritually, financially, and physically. So it's one of those challenges that I think we're opening up the cauldrons for others to kind of peer in to see what it is that we have to root out of our subconscious, because not liking each other is like a contradiction. You know, how could I like myself and not like you? How could I do that? But that's one of the questions that's lingering in the air is okay, if I like and care about myself and you look like me, then why isn't there a gravity to you, and why aren't we at league with each other at every turn? So that's kind of like where I see us being, and I see I'm optimistic that we're going to move from that as long as we keep on opening up these topics and opening up the conversation for people to look a little closer at how deeply rooted this thing that exists with us is, and when we can find a way to dissolve it.
Hello, is everybody there?
Yes, sir, we're here.
Okay, and so I've seen a lot of airway, so what I'm going to do is put the next person in. There's a caller from the 416. Go ahead and state your name. Is that Larry?
Yeah, Larry just chimed in. I'm just listening too, so I didn't get the subject right now until...
Okay, well, good morning to you, Larry. So, Larry, today is, who does Black Lives Matter to? Who does Black Lives Matter to? There's so much black-on-black hatred in our neighborhood that it is a big problem. And until we figure things out amongst each other and start working things out with each other, this is going to plague us until the day we all shall pass on. And so... it's 2023, and there's not been too much change in the 2000s when they said it was the millennium. I remember when everybody was scared about the millennium, 1999, when they said the world was going to end, and everybody was grabbing water and all that. And I seen a couple of black people work together when they thought it was the end of the world. I'm not going to lie, I was working with youth back then, and families was asking what kind of preparation should they get and what should they do. And so because we had that major threat, a lot of people start wanting to work together. But then when the clock struck 12 o'clock and nothing happened, we went back to our own ways and started progressing, degressing, and I mean not progressing, but degressing in situations where we should be helping each other, uplifting each other, and encouraging each other to be better at who we are so we can be better for our culture. And so that was what it was about. Who does Black Lives Matter to? And, yeah, you guys go put yourself on mute because there's some type of noise. Either it's heavy breathing or something that's coming through. Just put yourself on mute. Them are the ground rules, so we don't have all that background in this. So with that being said, Thurman, Mark, do you have anything to say?
Yes, sir. You know, Black Lives Matter, they took the – I don't know who came up with it first, but I know the alphabets took it over and ran with it. But one of our major problems is that we're playing the game of Monopoly. And you notice how a family could be playing Monopoly, and ain't no love in that board game. Everybody's trying to get that bag, trying to get that money. That's the same thing that's going on a larger scale in life. See, we've been thrown into something that we're not really a part of, but we make it work for them. And they give us a form of thinking that it's working for us, but it's not. There's no way it can work for us because we don't make it. See, so we get a little gratification out of it. Oh, yeah, well, I'm better than him. I'm not as low as him. You know, I'm able to buy this. I'm able to buy that. But do you really need all of that? That's what separates us. And it causes us to look down on those that don't have it and those that don't have it to look down on us that have it because they're not like us. So we have to get to the root of the problem. Because, like I say, those things, that the divisions that's got us separated, it's got us separated for life. And I really don't see a way out of it. Go ahead.
So I heard they, and before I used to hear, when I heard they, I used to automatically assign that they to the white male. Now, when I hear they, it's like who's in overview? Who has the power of financial strength and therefore power to create or to manipulate circumstances? And that's limited to the Caucasian male anymore. That's like we have the Asian community, we have the Arab community. They have overview power to figure out how they're going to continue the system that's working for them. So when I hear they, that's who I'm thinking it is people who have that overview power to look down and see what to apply to what to make things keep working the way they've been working for them. And we're the them. we're the they. And they're the them. So we're the ones that are always seemingly drawn from. Our resources are constantly drawn from, be it financial, be it physical, be it our hearts of our tendency to be the better servants, you know, because the serving industry is a forte for us. You know, they call on us. They call us now for security. Now, if you notice, all security guards are, for the most part, black people in these stores, right? So we're coined to be these certain things. So that when you ask the question, who does Black Lives Matter to? It matters to them. Our lives matter to them, but not in the regard to the spiritual, not in the regard to the mental, but in the regard to the ability to manipulate. And the ability to continue to provide the service and the entertainment that we're going to do and keep us away from all the other things that make it, like technology and engineering and all of those major things that structure what goes on here. We're deterred from that and put into the category of being servants, entertainers, and security. So that's kind of,
man, that is,
to me, that's, go ahead.
Go ahead, brother, finish up. I'll come right behind you.
Yeah, so when the question is Black Lives Matter, our Black Lives toward each other is questionable who matters to who, black on black. But it's clear to me who we matter to in the full scope. And now it's getting to the point where if we don't become more adept at technology and some of the intricate forms of the way things are going, we become expendable. We become expendable other than those three categories, security, service, and entertainment. We will become expendable. So if you're not adept in that, then you become expendable. And that's something that I think we should give some attention to.
Right on. And so we have another caller that called in. This is one of my childhood friends, Omar Turner. He's a coach for basketball. And so I'm going to let Mr. Omar speak. He has not a complaint, but he has an ask of this panel and the rest of the world. Brother Omar, you are live on the radio at Wise Words One Gone Show. Thank you for calling in.
No problem, man. Could everybody hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good. So, hey, I just got a call from a parent, and this parent is just very, very concerned for her 19-year-old young man. And I guess he must have came to her, and what he said was, you know, he need a job. I mean, I think he's been doing some other things to get money, but right now he just want to change his life. But he said, you know, because I asked her this, I said, what kind of job he wants? She said, all he said is that he's trying to change and he just needs some money in his pocket. And that was it. And so, you know, I'm just looking for somebody that'd be willing to, you know, work with a young man like that. He wants to work, you know, and he wants to change his life. And for me, you know, that's what we need to be doing out here. We need to be helping these young men to become employed, to mentor them, you know, to challenge them to be better, you know, all of those type of things. And so that's my ask. You know, I'm just, you know, reaching out and seeing if there's anybody who would be willing to do that, you know. And that was it. I appreciate you guys letting me speak to you and bend your ear about this. You know, but we got so many young black men that are out there that probably do want to change, but they don't know if anybody will take a chance on them and want to help them, you know, in that area of being employed.
And so what I wanted to say to you, we have opportunities for that young man. We just need him to join in the forces to be, which is some of our programs. Our programs will, you know, getting ready for employment, because a lot of times, Omar, I just want to say this, and we're going to keep moving. We give our youth opportunities to go to work, but they don't know how to show up to a job, right? They don't know how what it is to really work. What they want is they want a paycheck, but you have to earn that. And so we have to make sure that we vet our youth in what a job is, how to go to a job. I had some youth, man, I sent out to a job, man, and they went in smoking weed before they clocked in. They went in smelling like weed. They went to break and went smoke again. And you know, it's all about preparation when you send our young folks out there. Now, because he wants to have a change and make a change, it is on our community to help him move forward. But he has to first do what he did, went to his mom and said he wanted to change and he wanted to do something different. That was the first step. He's out of denial.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of information that we're going to be able to give that young man. So what you do is text me mom's number, his number. If he's 19, he's old enough to answer these questions himself. He's probably going to be able to get himself over to 24th and Florin when we do our meetings, and we could direct him in certain areas to get him going. The other thing is, introduce yourself and what you do, Omar. I've been knowing you all my life, and the world needs to know who you are and what you do.
For the last close to 30 years, I've been working with young people. I have a nonprofit called Crossover America. You know, it is faith-based. And what we do is we use sports, we use activities, we use different things like that to connect with our young people. I got a program called Crossover Basketball that's been in Sacramento for the last close to 30 years and work with hundreds of kids every year. What we try to instill in those kids is dedication, education, belief, and service. Those are the things, are our core values. We tell the kids that they're going to do it Deb's way, which is that dedication, education, belief, and service, Deb's way. And my wife is named Deborah, so, you know, we're going to do it. And we've seen multiple kids make changes and want to, you know, get better as far as in character and as far as their lives is concerned. And so as Crossover Basketball, we use that as a vehicle. The nonprofit is Crossover America. And I work also with a nonprofit called Youth for Christ, and where I'm a director, and we do some of the same stuff for the older kids. And so been doing this close to 30 years, man. Yeah, seen a lot of change lives, seen a lot of kids go off to college and just do better in life, man. So, yeah.
Appreciate you, Omar. Appreciate for all that you do. Go ahead, Brother Marvell.
Yeah, my question is, what part of town are you located in?
So, I work with kids, you know, in South Sac and North Sac, you know, Oak Park area. I even work with kids from Rancho Cordova. We've had some kids come from West Sac. I have two facilities that I operate out of right now. One is in South Sacramento, and the other one is in Rosemont, which is close to Rancho Cordova. I have had, you know, things that we've done in the north as far as we've used the school MLK before. So, but right now the two places we have are that we operate out of is in South Sac and also Rosemont. But I would work with any kid anywhere. We're open. Yep.
Right on. Never heard of it. I mean,
Where
are you located at?
Well, we funnel out of.
I was asking.
Out of. Go ahead.
Marvell, on you.
Okay, he was asking where are we located.
Yeah,
we funnel mostly out of the Florence Square Mall, programming in and out of there, and we're just kind of as you are, you know, we go where the demand is. We respond
gotcha.
To a lot of concerns. Primarily the south side, but if a demand comes up, we've gone out to the north side.
Yep.
So
all right.
We're pretty much like you.
Yeah. So if you talk to the kids, I've dealt with kids at Burbank. I've dealt with kids at John Steele. You know, a few kids at Kennedy, not a lot, but a few kids at Kennedy, Florin High School, you know, all over like that. And some of them would share with you about Crossover Basketball. That's what they know us for, is the basketball, Crossover Basketball. But we work with kids more than just basketball. Yep.
Right.
But basketball. So keep asking around, especially you know some kids that hoop, play basketball, and then they may share with you. Yeah, I've heard of Crossover Basketball. Yeah, so.
Okay.
And so
yeah,
and
that's
so
your hook.
Here it is.
That's your hook.
Here,
that's my hook,
so here it is, brothers. the last thing I want to ask Omar while we have him on here, this young man who's 19, he said he wants to change and he wants to get a job. And so there's a lot of jobs. That's why I want to know, is he really serious about a job? Because McDonald's is giving $17 an hour. McDonald's right there off of Meadowview, $17 an hour. So, and they're begging for people to come to work. I'm just wondering why this young man hasn't linked in to a job. Taco Bell's $16 an hour. Costco, Walmart, they're hiring. I just want to know, has this young man applied himself in an application to the various jobs that are out there begging for people to come to work? That's my thing.
I want to say I don't know, but what you were saying earlier, Tim, I think it should be the first step is him getting himself prepared for the job. You know, I think that's probably the most important thing for this young man. And so, like you said, some of your programs, I would love for him to be a part of that and then see where that would lead him. If it leads him to a McDonald's, great. Taco Bell, great. It might be construction, might be something else. But I think that if he gets involved in your program first, I like that idea. I really do. I mean, instead of just saying, okay, let's just throw you out here to the wolves, let's get you prepared. You know, so when you do go to that interview and you present yourself well, you know, so I to answer your question, I don't know if he's applied there. I don't at any of them. But I do like the idea of what you said earlier. That's just
it. Sounds good. And so with that being the case, Omar, send me the mom and his number. We can do an easy handoff. Tonight we're doing a free skating program over at King Skate Country. We'll be there from 6:30 to 8:30. If that young man would like to come through and be a part of that, we'd appreciate him being there. Bring him there. The brothers will be there. We'll be able to talk to him and probably guide him in the ways that we would want him to go, and that's to be the best him he could be and try to give him a chance to be better at who he is.
Yes, I agree.
I appreciate you, man.
As soon as I get off, I'm going to text you the mom's number, and if you could explain to her, you know, this is, you know, Omar told me to give him a call, and we're following up. Yep.
Sounds good, brother.
Yeah, to the text you texting. Hey, sounds good. Thank you, man. Appreciate you allowing me to, you know, share that.
All right. Hey, so, fellas, y'all hear the cry. It's always a cry for our community to step up and step out. Now, that's what Black Lives Matter to me. That's Black Lives Mattering, right? Getting ready to put this work in. The other thing is last night we was at the Men's Healing Circle. I got a call from the jailhouse, somebody that heard me on the radio at 97.5. Brother called in. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. But he called out and cried and pleaded out for someone to come hear his story, someone to lift him up. The brother said he tried to kill himself while he was in there because they have told him how much time he might get, and he's saying he's innocent, and you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, but you know how the system is. It's guilty until proven innocent, and so I'll be going and talking with this brother to find out how Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence can better suit his need, or to find out how I can refer him to someone that can. With that being said, who does Black Lives Matter to? Who do they matter to? Do they matter to you, or you? Or is that just a slogan for the world to hear, but nobody sees any action? Brother Marvell, back to you.
Yeah. So that demonstration of mattering was exemplified by Brother Omar. It matters what he sees in his culture, within race and within our people, to the point to where he took an action. So the Black Lives Matter movement was a stimuli for us to look closely at each other and make decisions. And now it's getting back to, you know, we're getting a little more casual, a little bit more relaxed. Well, the decision is to let someone else do the work, seemingly. And we're setting ourselves apart by doing some of the work, responding to concerns. However, we're not going to be able to respond to every concern that exists. We're just giving a model for the type of caring that's going to be probably necessary to respond to things that are happening in our communities. So Black Lives, I still contend that Black Lives matter far as resources. We're a resource. Black lives are a resource for a lot of others. But Black lives, that's a question mark about what we matter to each other. And I want to fill in the blank for that question, because I know how I feel sometimes when I'm dealing with issues that concern our people. I want to be wholehearted as much as I can, but sometimes something will kick in and say, "Oh man, they full of it," or "Oh man, I don't trust them," or "Oh man," and it, then the word we talked about last night with the young people was D-O-U. BT, the strangest sounding word, but the most commonly practiced word that I've seen in our culture is doubt. And to be honest with you, that shadow of a doubt and reasonable doubt is what is always applied to a situation, so that you can't be 100% as long as you have doubt. So that's why they have beyond a reasonable doubt when they try somebody. It's got to be beyond a reasonable doubt. And then the shadow of a doubt is something that's cast over a situation so that you can't be 100%. You got this one little something that makes you not want to be 100%. And so now we're at a point where we cannot doubt who we are. We cannot doubt what we have to offer. We cannot doubt that if we pour into each other, that strength, power and success is going to happen. So we have to get to that, remove that doubt, because there's evidence that says that if we remove that doubt as a people, there is nothing that we won't get done.
Oh, all right. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've been listening in, and, you know, Black Lives Matter. And one thing I want to say about what Brother Omar said was, he mentioned a very key word there, is that we have to prepare our youth and our adults and our elderly for what's going on in our communities today and in this world, in this country. Prepare is a very important thing. If you want to get a job, you have to prepare for it, you know. You want to pass a test, you have to prepare for it. Somehow we've gotten away from preparing for things, and we need to get back to that. And then also, every time if somebody black get beat up by the police, killed, first thing you see is Black Lives Matter out there marching, protesting. But, and then we waiting on, or why are we waiting on something bad to happen? Why can't our community call town hall meetings, you know, so we can address these issues going on in our communities and at our schools, you know, what's going on at home? Not trying to get in folks' business, but trying to find out, you know, how can we help each other? You know, that's what we really got to get to. You know, we got to start seeing where can we have places to have town hall meetings at? Not what the police did with just our people, and have a question and answer and have some solutions that we can put out there and at the meeting. And have some structure, and then see what we can come up with as a community how to spread the word and how to practice what we are learning. And main thing is like you say at the Men's Healing Circle, we have to show up. We got to stop sitting at home. And I heard something last night from Mr. Tim. Man, you watching them Cowboys on TV, them millionaires playing, all that football and stuff, but you won't get your butt up and go to a town hall meeting or go to the school and see about your child, you know, or go see about your brother or your neighbor, you know, when they, you know, we got our interest in the wrong direction. We going the wrong way. And then it's like Brother Floyd had mentioned last night.
Some food
you know, Black Lives Matter matters to me a lot. But then he mentioned that how black women are taking the black man's crown and the throne. And I'm like, and, you know, that is a very touching subject to me because I'm like, he's right. But he said, how do we get it? How do we instrument in getting that that out there that we are the kings, because I've always been here for the last decade or so. She my queen, but I don't hear nobody saying a black man is a king. You know, oh, that's my king. No, it's always, oh, my queen. But we have been dethroned. And that matters to me. Being a black man, I'm very concerned about that because I feel like Kareem said, I start at home. Who I'm gonna let teach my son, my 14-year-old? No, I gotta start with him before I can go out there with anybody else. I make sure he all right. But I do that. That's why I'm here on the talking the other day, because I get out there. I'm gonna put in my work as long as the Most High let me live. I'm going to keep putting in my work. That's why I signed up for the committees last night. I'm ready, you know. But we have to get everybody ready in our community, you know. And so we have to come up with structure. We have to come up with curriculum solutions. We have to come up with solutions, and we have to be able to agree on some and not to agree on some. And that's one of the things we need to get out there in our community. It's okay to disagree, you know. You might not, but that means you don't hate that person or dislike them. It's okay. You have different ideas. I got different ideas. And then sometimes, like when I said the other day about the situation with the raffle, I said, can we have a man come to the healing circle with men? And then one of our brothers, Mitch, said, no, that wouldn't be right. We should have, this should be somebody, this should be not a big group, but, you know, somebody that could peaceable way, whether it be two or three people or one person, and just let them know that's not right, you know. See, and then so I agree with that, you know. At first I mentioned one way, and then when we get ideas out there, I notice that, well, when we get ideas out there and people start putting out their ideas and suggestions, there's always some other brother that comes along and it sparks positive. We move forward. We come up with solutions and things, and we need more of that going on. And that, and to show that, you know, these people, our community, that we do care. We're not just going to show up, you know, with somebody. We want to show up before somebody get hurt or get killed by the police or each other. We got to take that out of our community, that hatred for each other, whatever that. I'm going to do better than you. I'm better than you. You know, that stuff started a long time ago. You know, separate. If you can separate the people, then you can conquer them. Well, it's time for us to stand up and not be divided no more, but be together and really be able to talk to one another and let them know, you know, that's we in here for the long haul for all of our community. Black Lives Matter. not just your family, not just my family, but all. You know, we got to find a way to stop all of this materialistic thinking, you know, I got these Jordans or I got this car, I got this, and I'm better than you. We have to get the truth out there. We have to stop being ignorant and we have to stop being foolish and really show love and concern for one another. Because if we don't, we gonna lose out. We ain't gonna have nothing. We are our own medicine. Mr. Till taught me that years ago, and I truly believe it. That's all I have to say.
Right on. Mark?
No, this is Till. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yes.
All right. Without courage, there is no movement forward. You cannot be afraid to step out. And many in our communities are always afraid that somebody or some institution is going to keep them from enjoying life, when it goes right back to what we've been saying from the beginning, the individual. If within the individual, if the individual does not have the confidence in self, then there is no progress, regardless of how many programs and who facilitates those programs. So being able to awaken the spirit, as Mark says all the time, and as Marvell says all the time, to be able to awaken that spirit, you merely just have to have individuals, number one, who are not afraid and who can actually step forward with the program, with conversation that somebody's going to listen to. That's all. It's the courage to step forward is what is also needed.
Okay, Joe, hold on. Let me intercede to say, whoever has background music or noise, please put yourself on mute. We've been hearing, you know, sidebar conversations and sound throughout the presentation, and it doesn't do us well to our listening audience. Like that.
Okay, I'm driving, so that's probably why you hear that, or some shaking or whatnot within the car. So, doggone it, I'll go on mute and see if that helps.
Well, I don't hear it with you. I heard a young lady in the background talking. You riding with somebody in your car?
No, I opened up the line to another caller, and I shouldn't have opened up the line for them at that time, but they had just called in, and so I muted them, and when I muted them, they hung up. So let's move forward.
Right.
One of the areas that I want to bring that's important to me with under Black Lives Matter, relationships. I brought this up at one of our meetings. I didn't go very far. But we go back to the topic of anger. Once again, when we see one another, whether it be black man and black woman, what is the first thought that goes through the mind? Am I upset? And this leads right into Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter should be a rallying call, a call that, as Brother Thurman just got through saying, that we should be able, the not being able is a problem. And that's because what do we see when we see each other? And that's deep-seated. That's something that goes back for years. It can be arrested. Now, I don't mean using that word. I don't mean something that, you know, you put handcuffs on somebody. But that type of thinking can be overturned, I should have said, can be overturned. But someone has to start. Someone has to have the courage to stand up and say, no, this is unacceptable, and here's a different way.
So we're forming committees now, and all of the fodder for what we're going to be doing is being revealed right now. Now I'm gonna share with you guys what you got. I mentioned it on our earlier broadcast, something that I had put in motion before, and I think it's appropriate now to use that format for what we're doing now. And the name of the project is called Men Accountable Project. Well, as I made a commitment that once we start getting our committees together and start getting our format and our subject matter, it occurred to me that this is the Men Accountable Project. We're becoming accountable, and we originally started talking about after that incident where the young man was using that method to dupe people out of their money, or at least that appears duping people out of their money, that we wanted to structure something that would be able to bring that to the attention of somebody in the man force of a body of men. So now that accountability system not only can exist where someone is not doing something right in the community, but that also we could be held accountable, hold each other accountable, and become more visible in our accountability to the rest of the other communities. So the Men Accountable Project is what I like to call it. And if anybody likes it, let me know. If you want to try something else, let me know.
I'd like to address something that Brother Thurm has said about kings and queens. So we have to understand that everything that's happening to us is happening because it was designed this way. It was designed a long time ago before we were born. They started putting these things into motion, and we're just helping it to play out. So like I say, we're gonna have to rethink a lot of things. We've got to go back to basic if you really want to see change, because we're not going to see change dealing with things the way we've been dealing with it. It's just like that old saying says, we're doing the same thing over and over again expecting a different result. We're not going to get a different result because the basis of the thing is greed. It's all about money. As soon as a young man get him a job, he loses focus on what he's really on unless he's really did his homework and he's really in tune with himself. He's going to lose focus on that job. He's going to go out there and do the wrong thing with the money. I know too many youngsters that started out good, they got their first check and quit because it was easy for them. All they needed was some initial fee to get in the hustle. But like you say, we got to start from the bottom up. We got to teach these kids. We got to teach them the meaning of life. What the meaning of life is, why a job is important, and let them know that you cannot ever get rich, because they're not going to let you get rich. Oh, you might get a large amount of money, but you're not going to be rich because there's always somebody with more than you, and you're just going to be chasing that carrot hanging in front of your head that's attached to you, and you ain't going to never get it. But like I say, all this is helpful. Everything that's being said is helpful. And I like that thing that you had there, Marvell, that map, Men Accountable Program. I like that. And I see we can do some things because it has to start somewhere. But in doing so, we need to raise some funding so we can do our own thing for our own people. See, because if we're steady taking their money, giving it back to them, it's not doing us any good. We got to take their money and use it against them, form our own currency that we could utilize between one another and use theirs as investment. I digress.
Yes. That's interesting. That's a very interesting concept.
Yeah. I want to piggyback on Brother Joe there when he said, We gotta show courage and step forward. So I looked up the definition, and of courage, and it's the ability to do something that frightens one. And that's the step forward part. We have to teach that in our community. We have to go to, it's not just our youth, it's all of us. We have to teach this definition to people that you got to have a courage. Courage is the ability to do something and step forward with something that frightens you. That means everything that's around us in our community, you know, a lot of our young people are scared to try to go out there and get a job. Why? Because they're not prepared. They don't know. But so it's up to us to show them the ability by us being out there, we stepping forward and showing our courage, you know, going and talking to these people and trying to do the best we can. But we have to give them the definition of courage so they understand what we're talking about, because a lot of them don't know nothing. Like, they think courage is carrying a gun, you know. That's the we got to show them the right definition of courage and the wrong definition. We got to take that out of our community, because they really think that, you know, having that gun, that's courage. Doing them drugs is courage. So we got to bring back the definition, the right definition of courage in our communities, stepping forward, stepping up for one another. I really think that that's a good avenue, a good thing to think about and ponder on a little bit. That's it. I'm done.
Somebody needs to mute while they cough. No.
That's me coughing. Look, one of the other aspects, I'm just coughing. I try to drink some water. Anyway, I don't want to get caught on that. To follow up with Brother Thurman, yes, courage is part in the Bible. Gives certain language to that particular category. However, when we get to talking this language, one of the best ways to capture the interest is economics. What are your abilities to make money? Where would you be able to make money? And within that category, you come across a lot. Especially that which is unprepared, which is what the brother said earlier. Being is one of the key factors in making money. I don't care who you are. If you are prepared, then you're going to be successful, regardless of what the category you put yourself in. But preparation is one of the key factors. And again, to prepare a young person, you got to go to that young person. And I'll stop at that.
Now, I'm personally sort of like in a quandary, because I hear Mark, and I relate to Mark's de-emphasis on the importance of money. I hear Joe that emphasizes that preparation and getting yourself structured ethically and morally and having strategy to learn how to make money, or because again, I can't see us not having hold on. That's great. You there? Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here, Marvel.
Okay, because I'm having some challenges with my
okay, but let me see if I can add a little bit more to it to where it makes sense. Brother Mark speaks about the bag, and he just did this a few moments ago. True, what his statement is true as it can be. The main essence to the bag today is the bag is needed. Now, the bag doesn't have to be full of cash, just enough for that person to be able to go get a loaf of bread, bacon if you want, eggs if you want, milk if you need. So there are degrees of the bag that is necessary. I don't disagree with Brother Mark at all about what's being chased, but we turn that to 2023. At this present moment, economically, the community needs every bag that it can get. Not wrongly, but every bag that has been earned. Not rightly, but every bag that has been taught. And it, by teaching our young what the value of money is, will help. The program that I ran in San Francisco was based around economics. And as I said many times, that same program is underway, and that's 2.5 years of running. We're at the base of our conversation with those young men that were incarcerated is economics. Why would you want to pay the system with your body when you can pay yourself through your actions, through your deeds? So it's going to take a little time, but it can be done. Again, it just takes men with experience and courage to step forward. That's all.
Right. So that financial literacy, that's a term that's been used. There's a guy on KDEE that is regularly on Tuesday. His name is Thaxter Arterberry. And he's quite accomplished. He's quite accomplished in the financial area, and he shares a lot of information about being able to be the knowledge of what money actually is and what it actually is supposed to do. And that might be a conduit for us to tap into, so that we can turn around and do workshops. Because as I said, we're on the brink of forming structural steering committees, right, and taking these subjects and doing research and using our experience and using our wisdom and how to present the challenges as well as potential solutions to the body. So we're probably going to do well to have some of that up under our belt as well, not just getting money, but having the money, once you get it, have it work for you. Because we worked for it. So now it's time for it to work for us instead of squandering it. Because they did an analysis, and they do this type of thing on KDEE, J. King, and Dr. Arterberry, and he has guests, and they all concur pretty much the same thing, that in our community, the dollar flows and lasts about 15 to 20 minutes, and then it's gone. Whereas back in the day, where we were flourishing as a community of people, the dollar stays in there, flows in there 60, 70, 100 times in the system that we're operating in. So that kind of lends to what Mark was saying about back in the day, we did have a form of our own currency, because it stays in our community. Even though everybody else was using it, we had a system where the money was still flowing in our community, making the community thrive. So that's what we keep on coming back to, what it is that we're going to do. And I keep appealing to the body that's listening, is to pour into those concepts. So we'll do as Thurman said, we'll keep on talking about it until people keep offering additives, and we'll end up with a good model for a solution. But we have to continue to do what we're doing. So I commend all you brothers for all your concepts and all of the ideas that you're proposing, because I'm going to compile something as a result of a little bit of everybody's concepts of this thing. I'm going to compose something that we'll be able to put forth and present to our communities that makes sense.
You cannot take a Baxter Arterberry, a professional, and bring him to the hood for a conversation. It falls on deaf ears. The reason why I say that is the experience I've had with this issue is Max Arterberry is at a certain level of knowledge, certain level of experience with money. The people that we're talking about don't have that and won't their attention span won't be there. However, if you bring John the carpenter, Fred the plumber, the sheriff that pulled himself up, as One Gone spoke about a couple of days ago, and pulled himself out of homelessness, this is where that effect makes all the sense in the world, because they see ordinary people like them, you understand, making strides or have made strides and offering a solution to how they can go ahead and make the same stride. There's nothing wrong with Baxter Arterberry. However, for the population that we're talking about at the moment, it won't fit. It won't fit because his level of experience, language, and knowledge is beyond the individuals that may be participating in that class. So Baxter Arterberry would be good for, quote-unquote, an advanced set of knowledge, an advanced conversation. But a basic conversation, ordinary men who have actually lived through it, ordinary men who have actually pulled themselves together, those are the best effective speakers that you can find.
Well, I won't, Joe, differ with the conclusion about whether or not he's being a little bit more advanced than the average. I really wasn't asking people to tune in more than I was for us to draw from his knowledge and resource for us to do what we do. We will contour our understanding to the population that we're dealing with, but we would do well to have someone expert to be of counsel, to be counsel to us. And, you know, I ain't trying to be funny, but I'm glad you relaxed that, because when you said cannot, when I hear cannot, that means that it's impossible. And I differ with that, that it is, it might not be doable now, or it might need to be readdressed, but it is a resource that we could draw from and get the information that we want to funnel in and through our program. So I don't disagree with you.
What I would suggest is let's invite Mr. Arterberry to a healing circle so that we can hold a conversation.
Absolutely.
I think that would
absolutely.
Help.
That's how it happened. See, that's what I mean. It's like when Thurman said something earlier, and I think that while we're demonstrating it, hopefully people will see that proposing something to the floor and you feel strongly about it, and then someone says, well, man, that might work, however, and they add the however, it starts building and making more structure to it, and we'll end up with a finished product like we have now. We can invite that man to come to our circle and do a presentation, just like we had the young ladies come and do their presentation about what was that matter about the vaccine, right? We had ladies come in do a presentation about vaccine, and we've had a couple people come in do presentations, right? So that's the course of action, is to invite him to come in and explain to him what we want to implement, and see if he could pour in on a level that we could understand, and then have him as a consultant for the future, if he's willing. Smooth out rough spots. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about putting it out there and adding to it and coming up with a finished product. Bravo, my brother. Good work.
And this right here is what we call progress. Okay? See, that's how we do it. We talk about it, and we coming up with ways, and we progress. We moving forward. And that's why I'm so happy that I'm a part of this, because I know the Most High got his hand in this, and we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him and Christ. But we have to make progress. And with inviting him, if he can find the time to come out, yeah, we're going to make progress, because we're going to take that information that he give us, and I'm going to start it right here with my daughter and my son, and then I'm going to move on to the other people that I can run into, you know. So, well, that's, I like that, because that's what we're doing. It's called progress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And see, we're setting the model so that when people differ, they won't hold back their concepts because they might anticipate that there's going to be differences, right? The differences can bring about a sameness and a oneness that's more powerful than the original thought.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
So that's what we're doing. If they've been listening from the onset or anywhere in the beginning of this, they'll see how we had different concepts, different perspectives, and we kept on adding to until we came up with a finished product.
Right.
So that's a good model for it. And that's a good model for people to see.
It's a good thing.
I would propose this, and that this be a standard for us. If we're fortunate enough to get Mr. Arterberry to come and speak with us, then we ought to have this as a standard where we have certain individuals that are invited on issues that we know that we're going to take back to the community or take it out in the community. So I think that it's a wise thing, Brother Marvell, that in the concept of the committees, that whatever area that is important, then call for someone to attend from that area with expertise, with the experience, to talk to us about it.
And brothers, and anyone that's listening who ain't chimed in, I'm gonna say, tell you something, give you some information. Start bringing a pen and a pad and writing down topics and subject matters. Because since I've been listening to, we've been here on this this podcast right here today, I done filled up two whole sheets of paper taking notes. You know, we got to start writing stuff down and taking notes. That way we all can come together as a collective and we can find a solution. There's a solution out there. We can do it, but we have to start taking notes. That's my suggestion. That's Thurman. That's the way I do it, and I ain't going to change. Okay.
Okay, well, Thurman, now, with that in mind, you've taken notes this time. Now, for future, because I usually have a notepad, too, to be honest with you. But for future, that's a good recommendation. But if you have notation now, I'd appreciate it if you could let me be privy to that, those notes that you took for this. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because, see, I want to conceptualize, you know, a lot of things, because I'm going to write up, you know, formats for the different workshops from the different presentations that we have and the different categories that we're going to be dealing with. So you can help me with that, and I'd appreciate it.
Oh, that ain't no problem.
Right
on. That's why I'm able to, you know, go back to the beginning of the conversation and up to now, because I keep taking notes and key words and subjects that we're talking about, because this is very important to me. And I got to show the courage, and I got to step forward. I can no longer sit back and think this damn TV gonna teach me something all day. I need to get out of my community, and I'm tired of sitting around. I need to get out, because I'm tired of what's going on. You know, I really want to talk to these young boys and these young women that's out here and feel like they can just pull them pistols out, thinking that's courage, and they just dropping each other and dropping us like crazy. So. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I'll let you look at them, and then we go over whenever we get a chance.
Okay, okay. I'll give you a call after, you know, look, maybe probably be this evening. Matter of fact, no,
okay.
Maybe early afternoon. Try early afternoon, mm-hmm. and then I can you know I
all
can
right.
glean from what you put down, because yeah. I want to make sure that I get this stuff in hard copy and visible as soon as possible, so that you know
right.
the sincerity of it will be. Create momentum, because if I don't do what I said I'm going to do, then it'll stop
mm-hmm.
the process. So I'm going to get busy on that as soon as possible.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
I want to throw something out here. I want to throw something out, and it may appear to be controversial, but I hope that if you give a little more thought to it, it might make sense. Is that we, as a people, are of royal blood. But I don't think every man is a king, and I don't think every man is a queen. I think we are royal blood, and as we mature and gain wisdom, that we work our way toward kingdom and queendom. But just automatically being deemed a king and a queen, everybody can't be a king and a queen because there are no subjects then. So I think we have the royal blood and the potential for kinghood and queenhood. Does that sound controversial?
So we'll find that right after these messages.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Family Skate Night.
Killing as one.
And it's all taking place at King's Skate Country in the city of Elk Grove. Thursday, November 30th, 2023.
6:30 to 8:30 p.m.
And in light of this special occasion, the key word is free.
Free? No
free. Everyone's free. Free entry, free food, great music equals fun for you and the family. King Skate Country, 1404 Franklin Boulevard, Elk Grove, California. We'll see you there.
November 30th,
right? Right.
So that's tonight. Tonight we'll be doing Family Skate Night at King Skate Country, 10404 Franklin Boulevard, starting at 6:30, ending at 8:30. That's where all the community is welcome to come and skate for free. Free rental, free food, and free conversation. At this time, we'll be doing game night as well, because what we found out is a lot of people don't know how to skate, and once they try to skate, they end up staying and doing nothing. So we're going to bring the board games out. Big Mama be there, Little Leroy be there, and Cousin Craig. I need you to be there. Bring your family. It is Family Skate Night at King Skate Country, 10404 Franklin Boulevard, 6:30 to 8:30, right there in Elk Grove, California. Ladies and gentlemen, the question posed to you all is everybody a king or a queen? Or do you work your way up by the works you do to be represented as a king and a queen, right? Because what Mr. Marvell said, every man ain't a king and every woman ain't a queen. I'm going back to the phone line with our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson, and I'm opening all phone lines. So if you are on the phone around some noise, please mute your phone so you can stay abreast with the conversation. I'm DJ One Gone, and here's your host, Mr. Marvell Wilson.
Okay, again, I think it may seem controversial. However, I'll pose this as a comparison. It's like everybody can be a CEO of a company. You can't, you know, a chief executive officer. Everybody can't be one, but you can become one. And that's the same kind of premise that I'm operating here now, because I know that we have potential, just like we have potential to be masterful, and our creativity allows us the potential to be experts and create things that are difficult to duplicate. We have all of that potential, but if it's not exercised, if it's not put forth and practiced and honed to a craft and to a skill, then it's just something that we have in us, but it doesn't put us in a position to where we're demonstrating. So I when I keep on hearing King Queen, I want to subscribe. However, sometimes I see somebody that I might call a Bojack, and somebody called him a king, and I'm saying I don't think he there. I don't see him being quite there yet. He has the potential by nature, but I don't put him there. So everybody to me is not a king, and every woman, every black woman is not a queen, because there's certain qualities and certain experiences and certain wisdoms that I think are necessary for one to be crowned.
Well, if I may interject something there, every man should be the king of his own home. Every man should be the king to his woman, and his woman should be the queen to him.
Yes.
See, let's don't take it out of context from what it really is. If you have children, you should be the king to them children. They should want to look up to you and emulate you.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, we do have that concept of king and queen. Like I said, it's not personified the way that some have said it to be like, well, I'm the king of Sacramento. No, you're not. Because we don't live in a surrounding where one man rules it. So you're the king of your castle. And she's the... Your woman is the queen of that castle, if I make any sense there.
You make a lot
beautiful.
Of sense.
That is beautiful.
That's what.
That's beautiful.
That's what I was about to make that same comment, this Thurman, Mark, that, you know, it's personal. It's a personal thing, you know. It's not that every man and woman can't. We know every man and woman can't be a king or queen. We know that for sure. But, you know. To me, it's personal because, yes, you should be the king of your castle in your home. You got children. You should be your queen. And y'all should treat each other with that type of likeness and love. And that's what I always look on, king and queen. Yeah, everyone can't be a king and queen. That's too many kings, too many queens. You can't get nothing done. You ain't got no subjects. Yes, I agree.
Hey, Thurman. Thurman, put that down in a note, because I wait a minute, I thought I had my clipboard
I
out here.
I did already.
Put that down in a note, because that's a workshop.
I did already.
That's another workshop. Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote it down already. Yeah.
Yeah, kingdom, the definition of kingdom and queendom, the clarity of what we're talking about, because I see that thing thrown around, and it's really to uplift. It's really an encouragement to uplift one to the highest level of their potential. It's just that if someone ain't demonstrating that, then they shouldn't get the handle. You should be the king of your house, but a lot of dudes is like more. So I've seen some guys that act more like queens in the house than kings. Because they let the woman be the one to make all the decisions.
That's true. That's true.
But, Brother Marvin, let me also say this. The word is being thrown around, too, and I like the way it's being thrown around because it beats the alternative. You know, these brothers been going around, hey, cuz, hey, blood, you know, this and that. And that causes confusion. Those are contradictory words. Because if you're not a blood, you start to mess with a cuz. So they started using the word king. So that's a neutral word. So we have to use what we got to get by each other. Because, you know, certain words you can't say to everybody because it might be derogatory and they click. They said it. King is a neutral word. Queen is a neutral word. And not only that, I like calling these young men kings because it gives them a sense of respect. It helps push them into a sense of authority where they want to be in that they might want to change their appearance to be a king. You're right.
You know, so we have to use the authority. We have to use the tactics, whatever tactics we got to bring about change upon building a community, because we really don't have a community now, but we're trying to build one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll hash that around, because I want to be a part of whatever is going to heighten the consciousness of the community. I'll hash that over. Maybe we can coin another one that's equally as encouraging, but not quite as lofty. Because as I said, you know, the kingdom thing. That's to me that's an assignment. You're giving somebody an assignment, and if they're not capable of meeting that assignment, then I don't know how, you know, if that might be a good thing for them or for the person who shared it with them. I don't know. I'm glad we're talking about it. I'm glad we're talking about this because we'll find the neutral zone.
Have you ever met the Brandon Stewart? You ever met him?
Say the name again.
Brandon. You have met Brother Brandon. He worked with Mr.
There.
Tim and us a lot.
He wasn't there.
Oh, he wasn't there. Okay, I just wanted to give you an example of the words king and queen being used. Every time we would have the healing circle for the kids, when we was at the other place up there with Ms. Jackie, the Rose family, one thing I admired about Brother Brandon and what he would do, I don't know if he could see the faces on them, the kids' face. He could read the faces on them kids, and they come in, and every time he would greet a young man or a young woman, he'd be like, "Good evening, how you doing, King? Good evening, how you doing, Queen?" He didn't know their name, but he greeted every one of them as a king or queen, and that got them interested and wanted to listen to what he had to say. That's what I took from that. I was like, wow, man, them two little words. He just, how you doing? He didn't ask their name. He just said, how you doing this evening, King? Hi, Queen. Hi. And find a seat. And they sit down. But you could see the ones who liked the way they was greeted with that greeting, they would sit up in their chairs and they would listen to Brother Brandy, you know. And of course, we had those that come in there didn't give a damn about what he was calling them, a king or queen. They didn't want to be there. But the ones that wanted to be there, they keep coming back. And it was just a joy to see how he would greet them young people and how they would, instead of sitting there not saying nothing, it would actually help them open up and join in on the whatever the healing we were doing that day, or whether it be a summit. That's just something I just wanted to shoot by you that I observed in my lifetime, being around different people and how they use the words king and queen towards our people. Okay, that's all.
Well, you know, I subscribe precisely to whatever. The one's charisma might lead them to put forth, right? I think that's a charismatic offspring of the person's spirit, right?
And right on.
I ain't gonna say it's a one size fit all, but I'm dare to say that his charisma, his character, it was effective for him. Because let me give you an example. We work with young people. We work with junior, high school, middle school, and high school young men, right? And one day I heard the guy that would take that after we leave, they go with him, and he said, "All right, boys, let's go." And they kind of filed out. So the next time I was there, he wasn't there yet, so it was lucky. I said, "Now, how many of y'all like to be called boys or young men?" And now right. young men raise their hand, right? So
mm-hmm.
now
yeah.
it's the young men. And so mm-hmm. when I say young men, it stimulates them to fall into that category and demonstrate the behavior of a young man. And I think
correct.
That's what you're saying about that, right? So
yeah,
it's a matter of charisma. I don't denounce
yeah.
or deny that he had that impact with his audience.
Yeah.
And but I wouldn't
okay.
subscribe to it because it's not in my charisma to use that handle. Right?
Right on.
So that's what I say. We can find a neutral one.
Yeah.
A neutral one. We could coin a whole new term that does
right.
the same thing that we all use. We could do that. As long as we keep on doing what we're doing now. Just keep exploring and looking deeper
mm-hmm.
into what it is that we're going to use to have an impact on our community.
Right on. Right on, man. I love that. Wow. This is terrific.
Oh, all right.
Yes, sir.
All right.
So
we're in the last 30 minutes, which is 28 minutes of the show. We're going to play one song. We're going to give everybody a recap. There's a lot discussed today, but the topic was, who does Black Lives Matter to? Who does Black Lives Matter to? Because there's so much black-on-black hatred in our neighborhood that I'm going to call a square a square and a nickel a nickel. It's hurting us in the long run. Who does Black Lives Matter to? With that being said, we'll take a moment and we'll be right back.
someday you'll understand just what it means when a man comes to you with his little heart in his hand just to love you. Just to get up next to you and hold you. Oh, baby! You say that I'm wasting my time. Well, it's my time, baby. You better listen to me. Saying I'm loving you. Just to hold you, just to squeeze you. And all I wanna do is get next to you and please, please, please you, baby. You see where I'm coming from?
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
Family
Skate Night.
Killing as one.
And it's all taking place at King's Skate Country in the city of Elk Grove, Thursday, November 30th, 2023.
6:30 to 8:30 p.m.
And in light of this special occasion, the keyword is free.
Free?
Free. Everyone free. Free entry, free food, great music equals fun for you and the family. King Skate Country, 1404 Franklin Boulevard, Elk Grove, California. We'll see you there.
November 30th, right?
Right.
Hey, so tonight is free skate night for the family. Once again, free food, free skate rental, free entry, free for the community. Now, it'd be a shame that you didn't make it there, and I'm going to see who makes it there to represent for our families here in Sacramento, moving, grooving. It's called Healing While Willing. We're Healing While Willing right there at the Skate Country in Elk Grove, California. Hey, so I have the gentleman that makes all of my commercials these days on the line, and I just wanted to give him a shout-out. Brother Wren, are you there? Introduce yourself. Introduce what you do and why you do.
What's up, bro? How you doing?
It's all good.
Well, what I do is everything. Why I do it is... Man, for the love of man being a part of everything. Shit. So I guess that's where I get my drive for it, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And I appreciate you for doing our commercials, brother. This is Boss Tootie's father. Boss Tootie is one of the artists in Sacramento, a 10-year-old elementary phenom, right? And so if you haven't heard of Boss Tootie, go to the YouTube and look up BOSSTOOTIE, and you'll see why we are pushing Boss Tootie to the top, because she's pushing herself to the top. With that being said, I'm going back to the we got another caller in here. I just wanted to get him recognition. Caller, you're calling from the 893. Can you state your name?
Caller. Well, that must be me, Damani.
Yeah, that's Brother Damani. What's
Damani
going on,
Sakuma?
Brother?
Oh, I just called in. I saw your request on Facebook. People call in. I just called in to see what's going on. Listen to it. I know it's about black on black hatred.
Yes. So it's who does Black Lives Matter to, Brother Damani? There's so much black on black hatred in our neighborhood that it becomes a big problem. And before I go on, I would like for you to say who you are and what you do at Florence Square in the next event that you're putting on, the open mic on the 16th, if you could.
Okay, my name is Damani Sakumu. I'm from Sacramento, California, originally from Virginia. Been out here since 1994. Yeah, I bring entertainment to the African market at Florence Square. And the next group I got is Pool Party. Pool Party coming on next Saturday the 9th. not this Saturday, but the 9th from 2 to 3:30. That's pool party. And then I got some open mic on the following Saturday. Brother Tashaka Muhammad will be the featured poet. And that's about it. So I just help out the African market because, you know, music is always, entertainment has always anchored the black business district. And it's, at Florence Square, we have a collection of, you know, it's black-owned facility and it's black-owned businesses. And I think we are, in the past, before integration, we always rallied behind our black businesses and, you know, sought to support the black businesses. And in turn, the businesses support nonprofits in the community, nonprofits and other programs in the community. And so just trying to do my part and help out.
Shout out to you. I appreciate all you do for those you do it for and myself. I am very, very honored to have you on this show. We're on every week from 9 to 11. Talking about the issues that plague our community. Without further ado, I have our host, Mr. Marvell Wilson, for you. Marvell?
Yes, sir. Hey, and Damani, yes, sir. I appreciate you highlighting what you contribute as well as bringing attention to probably the 1 hour community that is focused on black businesses, black issues. And I want to reemphasize how important it is for people to hear that that is, and I could be wrong. There could be somewhere else that's like that that I don't know about, because I've heard some stuff that I haven't heard and I didn't know exists on this program. But right now, in my mind, the only place that features black issues, be it commerce, be it art, be it music, be it the kind of like a center for the nonprofit bodies, is the Florin Mark. That's the only place I know in the city, and it kind of lends to what we're talking about now: is do black lives really matter? And if they do, why aren't we participating where black lives are being highlighted, where black lives and black commerce is being perpetuated, where black creativity it is, because we have probably the most renowned black museum, the Sojourner Truth Museum, in the city of Sacramento, in the Florence Square Mall. How come ain't nobody coming in there on a regular basis? That's what we're talking about now, is do black lives really matter? And if so, demonstrate. Where's your demonstration if that's what you feel and that's what you think about black people? But that's where black people are thriving and where black people are highlighted and where black people congregate and where black people structure and build from is that Florence Square Mall where you are, brother. So I appreciate you mentioning that. And I'm going to emphasize that if you want to demonstrate that black lives matter, pay attention to that Florence Square. Out of dead air time, am I still there? Is this thing on? Hello? Hello? That's not good. I don't know if I'm on the air or not. Can somebody verify if I'm on the air, please?
See, Tim had it all muted. Anyway, I wanted to say, you know, it's good that we have the Florence Square marketplace. I think every community should have one. But my thing is, why do we have to be higher than every place else for our own people? You know, a lot of things are out of reach. A lot of people can't afford to shop there because the prices are too high.
So let me counter that. If you know, like I know, we don't have enough support to get the discount as a wholesaler, right? We have to buy our stuff higher than what the Chinaman gets, because the Chinaman go back to the wholesaler way more faster than us. And so the other thing is that more Chinese people patronize each other, and the Mexicans patronize each other enough for Pancho or Wang to go back to that distributor more often than we are able to do it. And so they are getting discounted prices. Not only that, their country pushes a lot of the products that they sell. So they're getting it cheap from their country, bringing it to our country where they can undercut everybody, right? And so the black man has no, well, I'm not going to say he don't have, because I'm going to be careful with my words, but we don't have enough push from the black community to keep going back and forth, where they see us coming, they give us a discount because they want our business. What they know of us is, as a whole, we are consumers. So why should I give that black man a cut when I know he's going to buy anyway? He ain't got nowhere else to go to buy. So he's got to come to me. I'm going to keep my price at the same price, because how I know, I went to the garment district in L.A. This is DJ One Gun. I went to the garment district, and I sat and seen an Asian person buy almost the same thing I bought, right? And his price was way different than mine. And he only bought maybe 10 more pieces than I did, right? And so I did the math, and I said, well, if I go buy 10 more of these pieces, I should even out to where he at. So I did that. I went and added 10 more pieces, and my price was way higher than theirs. And so I asked the guy that was behind the counter, I said, hey, man, I just added 10 more to my order, and I just heard you tell him a different price than me. You know what he told me? He told me that man comes in every week, and he only sees me every other month. So you do the math. And so I was upset to where the fact is they can keep that. I need my money back because I felt cheated. So I got my money back,
right.
Left all the way from L.A. without having my product. And I suffered when I got back because I had people that ordered these individual pieces, and I ended up having to give them their money back, saying that they didn't have the right size, and I felt played up there, and I just didn't buy anything. I wanted to buy what you ordered. And so I, as an eyewitness to why we are treated differently and why our prices are higher, is because these small businesses don't get a cut or a break. And so they barely make a profit once they pay for their spot, once they pay for whatever else they got to pay for. It really doesn't equal out as them getting a profit. So they do have to raise the price a little so they can make a living. And I understand why we always say, well, we go to the black man and his service ain't as top-notch as their service, or his prices are not as low as theirs. But believe me, brother, these people want to be able to give you a cut so they can be able to make a little money, give you a little a discount, but they're not going to be able to last long like that. And that's why it's like that. I've seen it. I used to say that myself. Man, this restaurant high as I don't know what. Man, they ain't got but two pieces of chicken on here and a little greens, and you want $30 for the plate? Thought about it. Wow. How much does it cost to keep this running? And how many people are supporting him to where the fact that his product moves fast enough for him to make his profit and give me the discount? That's all I'll say, and that's where it's at.
Well put. Yeah, and that's, I hope that, because that was kind of like the response that I have, even though I take the same position that Mark takes. It's like, no, like, gosh, give me an explanation. You know, give me some clarity.
If I may, can
well,
I
let
add,
me finish.
Because I was getting, all right.
Yeah, let me finish, because one other thing that is entailed is is certain sectors in the community or what community you're in going to determine how much insurance you have to pay for your business. There are a whole lot of overheads that contribute to that, and not only we don't use collective bargaining. If two or three businesses have the same kind of product, then they would do well to combine their money to do a wholesale purchase. Instead of you going there as an individual trying to get wholesale, you can combine your money with another business that does the same or similar, and you guys can go in and get, you know, some concession. So there's a whole lot of little variances, too, why that is like that. I agree with you, Mark. I kind of like, dang, I ain't coming back here no more. But at the same time, the vendors, to be a little bit more sharing in what their quest is. Like, hey, you know, yeah, I know right now we're building. So if you don't mind, come on in. And as we grow, we'll be able to do some adjusting to make it a little more easier for you to want to come in and pay. But right now, this is where we are. If they would do a little of that, that might help us.
Well, if I may add something before we go off the air. What I was getting at was that we need to get back to basics, creating jobs for ourselves, making these clothes ourselves, because we're designing a lot of this stuff, but we're putting the money into their hands. So let's take back what we've been doing and do it for ourselves. That's what I'm saying. That way you will decrease the cost. It won't cost as much to do because we're doing it. You know, just like FUBU, for us, by us. We got to get back to that. I'm done.
I appreciate that. Right. I appreciate that. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to mute two people, and I'm going to have the rest of y'all give your final 30 seconds spiel on who does Black Lives Matter to. And so we'll go with, matter of fact, I'm not going to mute anybody because I might get called upon. Mr. Marvell, who does Black Lives Matter to?
Black Lives Matter to me, Marvell Wilson Jr. Black Lives Matter to the degree that I've always been wary of how other people seem to put somebody out in front and out ahead and supposedly more superior than me and mine, right? And I know that it's different. I always had this feeling in me that there was something awry with that proposition that we have to look up to or go through someone. And when I'm looking at where the origins of a lot of stuff that's here, inventions and creation and footwork and handiwork, all that stuff is a derivative of our resource, but we're getting not considered for a lot of that. And that perpetration of us thinking less than each other has always made me think more, because I know that it's different.
Say,
so Black Lives Matter to me.
I say. Mark, you next. 30 seconds.
Black Lives Matter to me, as it should all of us. Have a blessed day.
Brother Thurman, Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter to me, and we have to spread the word. If you hate your brother that looks like you, then you have been taught and fooled to hate yourself. That's it.
Brother Joe, Black Lives, do it matter to you?
It matters to all of us, and have a blessed day.
Brother Wren, Black Lives, do it matter to you?
Definitely. I feel like Black Lives matters really to the whole world. You know, whether it's acknowledged or not, because, you know, anything that happens on a commercial level, successful as far as success goes, if we don't validate it, it's really nothing in it. Like, we validate every product that go out there. So,
I say, Brother Damani.
Yes, Black Lives definitely matter to me and should matter to all of us. Just a little study of our history will show that we stand on the shoulders of giants. We have been black, and
We owe it to our ancestors and great-grandmothers and grandfathers who have paved the way. They have plowed the field, and we have reaped what they have sowed. So we owe it to them to love each other, care for each other.
I say, and I have a caller from an unknown number. Caller, you listen to the show. Do you have any input, or would you like to say that Black Lives Matter and it does it better to you? Caller, you're the only one on this line right now. If not, we'll keep moving. Okay, I can hear it, something in the background, but I guess that's all we're going to get. Hey, this is the Wise Words of One Gone Show. Remember to be the best you can be. It doesn't take much to satisfy yourself if you're loving yourself, right? So what I want you to do as a listener, as a brother, as a sister, is to love yourself so you can love someone else, because love is a key component that is needed in the Black community. When I say Black-on-Black hatred, I only say it because it's a negative that is pushed over a positive in our community. If I was to state that there's some good things going to go on, and this is how you get there, it'll be probably a handful of people that will run to it, right? But if I say they got a fight over there and Johnny is beating on Larry, and the crowd and the masses would run over there, pull out their phones, put that joke on every social media, and exploit their own people. When I say love yourself, I mean love yourself. Love yourself so you can love somebody else. Tomorrow we'll be talking about single fathers, and Mr. Wren is one of the single fathers. We want to find out about how our single fathers are maneuvering in this day and age, right? Because we always see and hear about the single mothers, right, and the ploy that they go through and the hardship that they have, and we know that. We know that there's a lot of single mothers out there, but there's also some single fathers. We want to uplift them, give them encouragement, and inspire them to be the best father figure for their children and the children around them. So tomorrow we'll be talking about single fatherhood and what one feels when they're sitting in that position, because, like I said, we talk about the ladies and the single moms, but do we talk about the single fathers? My name is Timothy Poole, DJ One Gone. This is Wise Words and One Gone Show, and we are off the air right now. Thank you for calling. Call in tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on the Blog Talk Station. Peace.